poll, just 8% of Democrats blame border crisis on huge flow of migrants. By Neil Monroe on July 6, 2019. Just 8% of Democrats say the migration crisis is solely caused by the huge number of migrants who are trying to cross the border. While 81% of Democrats say there is either no crisis or blame the crisis on the federal government, according to a CNN poll. Only 70% of Democrats say the TV displayed migration of almost 800,000 men, women, and children into the United States counts as a crisis. And 54% of all Democrats say the crisis is caused by the way migrants are treated by the federal government. Only 8% say the crisis is solely caused by the number of migrants, while a further 7% blame both the government and the migrant numbers, even as the migrants flood into Americans' blue-collar neighborhoods, pushing down wages, boosting rents and adding chaotic diversity to schools, communities, and politics. In contrast, 35% of independents and 65% of Republicans solely blame the crisis on the migrants' numbers. Roughly 7% of GOP and independent respondents blame both migrant numbers and the government, said the poll of 1,613 respondents, including voters and non-voters. The poll puts some data on the escalating pro-migrant skew in the Democrat Party. But it also shows how that pro-migrant view is held by 32% of all respondents, according to the CNN poll. The poll was taken late June 28 to 30, amid much emotional media coverage of the overcrowded border centers. The contrary view, that migrants' numbers cause the crisis, is backed by just 34% of the respondents. The Democrats' rising support and sympathy for migrants date back to around 2012 when President Barack Obama dragged the party leftward as he announced his Dreamer amnesty for roughly 800,000 young illegals in the depths of an economic recession that left millions of Americans on the sidelines. This progressive's pro-migrant perspective was supercharged as the left reacted to the public's rejection of the progressive's candidate in the 2016 election. That shocking defeat was a psychological and social status rejection of the elite by ordinary people. And the elite has not been in a forgiving mood towards their fellow Americans. This elite rejection of Americans is being exacerbated by angry immigrants, who bring their homeland resentments and ambitions into the United States. Somali-born Representative Ilhan Omar, for example, tweeted that the nation's immigration enforcement agency should be defunded. So my grandfather, who was born in India, he was sitting in a park one day in North London minding his own business. And this elderly British gent comes up to him and wags a finger at my grandfather and says, "Why are you here? Why don't you go back to your country?" And my grandfather, who came from a business family, said, "Because we are the creditors, because you came to my country. You took all my gold and my diamonds. You prevented our industry from growing, so we have come here to collect." This inflow of migrants is imposing chaotic diversity throughout Americans' economy, society, and culture, complete with media magnified demands that Americans' history be rewritten to downplay the achievements of Americans and play up claims from the progressives' coalition of people outside the nation's core of middle-class families. The Washington Post reported July 4. The city council in Charlottesville, near Thomas Jefferson's Monticello Plantation, voted this week to scrap the former president's local holiday in favor of one that celebrates the emancipation of African-American slaves, including gays, immigrants, blacks, and others. Mayor Nakuya Walker said that the conversation around Jefferson hasn't been that balanced. While the city has long acknowledged Jefferson, it hasn't given the same recognition to the people who did the work, who built the buildings that wouldn't exist without them, referring to the University of Virginia. The loose term for this migration-boosted eruption against ordinary Americans by woke liberals is the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening term echoes the moral campaigns by Christians in the 1800s, and it was coined by Matt Iglesias, an editor at the left-wing site, Vox.com. He wrote, "For all the attention paid to the politics of the far right in the Trump era, the biggest shift in American politics is happening somewhere else entirely. In the past 5 years, white liberals have moved so far to the left on questions of race and racism that they are now, on these issues, to the left of even the typical black voter. This change amounts to a great awakening, comparable in some ways to the enormous religious foment in the white North in the years before the American Civil War. It began roughly with the 2014 protests in Ferguson, Missouri, when activists took advantage of ubiquitous digital video and routine use of social media to expose a national audience in a visceral way to what otherwise might have been a routine local news story. The Great Awakening and its causes are detailed in a long argument posted by researcher Zach Goldberg in a June 5 article at Tablet Magazine. There are growing levels of support for left-wing policies without such obvious connections to race. For instance, between 1965 and 2000, the percentage of white liberals preferring increased immigration levels never deviated far from 10%. From the mid-2000s to roughly the end of President Obama's term in office, this figure gradually ascended into the 20 to 30% range. As of 2018, it sits at over 50%. Then, there is the marked shift in attitudes toward Israel. Between 1978 and 2014, white liberals consistently reported sympathizing more with Israel than the Palestinians. Since March of 2016, this trend has turned on its face. Significantly more white liberals now report greater sympathy for the Palestinians than for Israel. Some of these changes arguably stem from Trump's rhetoric and policies on immigration. But a glance at the data shows that, as with their attitudes toward blacks, the percentage of white liberals perceiving a lot or a great deal of discrimination against immigrants more than doubled between 2000, 29%, and 2013, 57%. Well before Trump arrived on the scene. Additionally, between 2006 and 2014, the percentage of white liberals saying they feel very sympathetic toward illegal immigrants and their families grew from 22% to 42%. This left-wing shift against Americans, and of Americans' huge effort to build a race-blind society, also includes a class fight between wealthy people and Americans who work with their hands. Overall, most upper-income Americans welcome immigration because it provides them with cheap labor for domestic servants, restaurant help, and much else. Moreover, the elite feels no class conflict while receiving such cheap labor, as it would if the domestic servants were black. Because the elite sees itself as benevolently providing shares of American citizenship to poor people from Central America and other poor countries. A central part of this Great Awakening is that liberals prefer foreigners to the Americans who oppose their progressive policies. If a policy provides some gain to foreigners at great cost to anti-progressive Americans, then it is doubly good for progressives' political ambitions. Democrats' favoritism towards migrants is aided by the establishment's post-1965 claim that America is a nation of immigrants, not a nation of settlers, even though more than 80% of Americans were born in America. The migration-boosted progressive backlash against Americans is likely going to be a key feature of President Donald Trump's re-election campaign. His tweets suggest he will hit progressives hard on this issue throughout the election. Immigration by the numbers. But the federal government then imports about 1.1 million legal immigrants and refreshes a resident population of about 1.5 million white-collar visa workers, including approximately 1 million H-1B workers, and approximately 500,000 blue-collar visa workers. The government also prints more than 1 million work permits for foreigners, tolerates about 8 million illegal workers, and does not punish companies for employing the hundreds of thousands of illegal migrants who sneak across the border or overstay their legal visas each year, despite the rising loss of jobs to automation. This policy of inflating the labor supply boosts economic growth for investors because it ensures that employers do not have to compete for American workers by offering higher wages and better working conditions. Flooding the market with cheap, foreign, white-collar graduates and blue-collar labor also shifts enormous wealth from young employees towards older investors, even as it also widens wealth gaps, reduces high-tech investment, increases state and local tax burdens, and hurts children's schools and college educations. It also pushes Americans away from high-tech careers and sidelines millions of marginalized Americans, including many who are now struggling with fentanyl addictions. The labor policy also moves business investment and wealth from the heartland to the coastal cities, explodes rents and housing costs, shrivels real estate values in the Midwest, and rewards investors for creating low-tech, labor-intensive workplaces.